Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, as you know, is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, hope you had a good weekend. We've got a lot of show for you today and a lot that we need to get done. I've got two interviews in hour number one. At the end of hour number one, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, we are going to go to the Kobe Bryant Memorial Service from Staples Center in Los Angeles. So if you're watching the TV simulcast, we will have that in hour number two. The radio program will continue as normally scheduled, so you might want to keep that in mind. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Once again, toll-free, no matter where you are, 1-800-636-8686. I do have an email address for you, Rome, R-O-M-E, at havetake.com, and a Twitter feed. If you were to go to the top of the Twitter feed, you would see that we made the announcement on Friday that the Jungle World Tour, the Jim Rome World Tour, is coming back, and it's going to debut in Buffalo. Tickets are for sale right now. If you want more information, go to the top of my Twitter feed. Or better yet, just go to JimRomeWorldTour.com. JimRomeWorldTour.com. Of course, you do need a password. Tickets are for sale to the general public on Friday. Between now and then, just use the password jungle. All right, coming up next segment, I've got a seven-year NFL vet and a quarterback consultant, the best in the business, Jordan Palmer. He's coming up in about 15 minutes. Also, we continue to get you ready for the NFL draft. We have another draft prospect coming up, Derek Brown, in hour number one. Former defensive tackle from Auburn. Second hour, Kevin Ioli is back to talk about the fight Saturday night in Vegas. In fact, that's where I want to start right now. Again, if you want to call the program, do it. You have your phone number. You know, it's been roughly 36 hours since Tyson Fury did what he did on Saturday night, and frankly, I still cannot believe it. There were a lot of different ways that fight could have gone, but I'm not sure anybody saw it going the way it actually did. The way it actually went was with Tyson Fury dominating every single second from the ring walk on the throne to the victory song in the ring. It was a massive performance, an incredible performance. He didn't just beat Deontay Wilder. He dominated him. He dominated the night. He dominated the weekend. And he put himself on top of his sport. Now, you knew something was about to happen when Tyson Fury turned his ring walk into a ring ride. Sitting on a throne in a red robe and a gold crown while singing Patsy Cline's Crazy.
Please be upstanding for your king, Tyson Fury!
Crazy, I'm crazy.
And like a king would, he has decided to be carried on a throne. I'm not sure what Patsy Cline's intent was when she released Crazy in 1961. But Tyson Fury has channeled every bit of it, in only the way he can.
In only the way he can. Like, if you do that, and you get knocked out, at least you had one good moment. But if you do that, and you knock out the previously unbeaten champ, the man many consider the most powerful puncher in heavyweight history, if you do that, after riding in on a throne to that song, you're a freaking legend. And that's exactly what Fury did. And that's what he is now. He manhandled Wilder. That was a mugging, a curb stomping, a hospital job. Pick any phrase you want, and it applies here. And it started from the very first bell. Fury was quicker, he was faster, he was bigger, he was stronger, he was more aggressive. He was flat out better. And it wasn't even close. And no, he was not there just to use his superior boxing skills and stay out of the eye of the storm. In theory, it sounded suicidal, but he went right at Deontay Wilder, just as he said he would. So this was not about self-preservation or about using his superior boxing ability to outpoint Wilder or about doing everything in his power to avoid Deontay's lethal right hand. This was about putting a beating on Wilder and getting him out of there as quickly as possible. Or, as he told Mark Kriegel before the fight, quote, I'm going to drag Wilder to somewhere he's never been before, end quote. And then he did just that, administering a severe beating on Deontay, and he dropped him in the third.
Just leaning on Wilder.
He floored him in the third, and then he did it again in the fifth.
His physical stature, it belies his skill and his nimbleness. And it's a knockdown, it's scored! A body shot to Wilder!
You don't see that very often, right? He went downstairs, legitimately, legally, but a body shot put him on the canvas. By the sixth, it was pretty clear that that Wilder home run, it was not coming. You know, the ultimate equalizer, that right hand that could seemingly get him out of any bad spot, was no longer there for him. Not when he had nothing left in his legs and no balance at all. Not when he was bleeding from his ear. Not when he had not landed a single meaningful punch since the early minutes of that fight. And not when he was dealing with a bigger, stronger, better man on that night. Then in the seventh, with Wilder trapped in the corner, taking a beating and unable to defend himself, his own corner had had enough.
Wilder just coasting back into that neutral corner, and now Fury's looking to split the guard as Wilder's in bad shape. This fight is over. This victory. There is only one. There is only one. Crown the king, the lone undefeated heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, the champion.
You know, I say that Wilder's corner had had enough, but it was really just one guy. And it's a good thing that he had, and that he did something about it, which I will get to a little bit later on. Not right now, though, because this is not about Wilder. This is about Fury and what he did, which was pretty much whatever he wanted. And even crazier than that masterful, near-perfect performance is the fact that Fury called it. He told everyone exactly what he was going to do, and everyone thought he was crazy. Then he went right out and he did it. He was not going to repeat what happened in that first fight. He was going to be the aggressor. He was not going to try to outbox Deontay Wilder. He was going to knock out Deontay Wilder. He was going to take the fight right to Wilder, which seemed completely insane until he did it. And before he actually did it, that sounded like a guy. You know what it sounded like? It sounded like a guy trying to sell a fight, trying to get a few extra pay-per-view buys. You know, with the promise of a reckless attack on the guy with the most power in boxing history. I mean, who the hell would do that? No one smart, especially when you had success outboxing him in the first fight. Why not stick to that script, maybe tweak it slightly, and then run it back? Turns out Fury did not like that script. He said he learned something in that first fight, and he wanted to put it into practice. Again, it sounded like he was selling tickets and moving pay-per-views. But that's not what it was. He went out, he brought in a new trainer. He put on more weight. He went to work. He took big risks in doing that. All those things would have made him look so bad if he got beaten. But turns out this guy was not crazy. He was smart as hell. He knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't come for a boxing match. He came for a brawl. And then he dominated. Before that fight, Fury told Kriegel that his father said it would be an easy fight. Correction, not an easy fight, but quote, one of the easiest fights you've ever had. Again, something else that sounded utterly ridiculous at that time, total hot air, a guy trying to convince himself of something. But it was true. That was one of the easiest fights that Fury's ever had. He wasn't remotely challenged or tested by Deontay this time around. Total physical, mental, and psychological domination. Right down to the moment where he appeared to be licking Wilder's blood off his neck. I guess because he wanted to taste his blood. I mean, by the way, what the hell was that? But then again, what was any of that? How do you explain a guy who goes 6'9", 273, who's able to move like that? Fury came in 16 pounds heavier than he was in the first fight, yet somehow he was quicker, more nimble. How do you explain that? But again, how do you explain any of this? How do you explain that? How do you square the guy who was leading a sing-along of American Pie in the ring after the fight? A guy who seemed like the life of the party with the guy who made truly horrific and offensive statements in recent years. I don't know. How do you explain that he was actually 400 pounds not that long ago? Four bills, legitimately. How do you explain that the guy who just did what he did was allegedly abusing cocaine and alcohol on a regular basis not that long ago? How do you explain that the guy that the world saw Saturday night was the same guy who said that it was not unusual to drink 18 pints of lager in a night? And that's before we get into any of his battles with depression and suicidal thoughts. A battle that was so crushing that at one point he said he got in his Ferrari, got it up to 190 miles per hour with the intention of ramming into a wall so he could kill himself. All of that was like less than 2 years ago. How does that guy become the most dominant fighter in boxing and do it in such fast order? How do you explain any of that? The answer is I can't. And if any of you can, I'd love to hear it. But I'm guessing if I can't, you can't either. I mean, I'm not even sure Fury can. But I do know this. That was one of the best performances by a heavyweight in decades. And while I did not expect it coming in, it didn't take long once that fight started to know it was going to end that way. That's how good he was. And if Fury shows up like that going forward, Anthony Joshua is going to have a real problem when it comes time to unify that division. Because if he fights the way he did Saturday night, and Joshua fights the way he did in that rematch with Andy Ruiz, Joshua's got no shot. In fact, less than no shot. And it really would then be the King's world. A world that he wanted no part of not that long ago. What an absolutely astonishing and incredible performance Saturday night in Vegas. Did you watch it? Did you pay for it? Did you go to it? Did you thieve it? And do you have a take? Your thoughts, 1-800-636-8686. Also, a lot of controversy about Mark Breland throwing in the towel. He absolutely did the right thing. He did the right thing. I understand that Deontay wanted to go out on his sword. The problem with that is, if you let a guy like that go out on his sword, he might go out on a stretcher. Or worse yet, in a pine box. He did the right thing. I want to get into that too. 1-800-636-8686. Lakers, Celtics, the rivalry is back. You know, it was such an amazing game. Of course, that's an afterthought given what's happening today at Staples. But I want to get into that matchup, and I want to get into the game. And I want to remind you, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, we are going to toss to the Kobe Bryant Memorial Service from Staples. That's going to be right around the start of hour number two. So we will have the radio program all 3 hours. We'll have the simulcast all throughout hour number one. And then we will go to Staples. In the meantime, Jordan Palmer joins me when we come back. Derek Brown after that. Kevin Ioane next hour. Look around you. It's a wireless world. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. So what you want to do is go with Raycons. Raycons start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And they sound just as amazing, though, as the other top audio brands. Raycon's latest model, the E25s, are their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, you get seamless Bluetooth pairing, you get more bass, and you get a more compact design that gives you a comfortable, noise-isolating fit. And unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet. There are no dangling wires or stems. They're perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking telephone calls. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J. Celebrities like Cardi B and Snoop Dogg have already given Raycons their seal of approval. Now it is your turn to see what the hype's all about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Rome. Buyraycon.com/Rome. Get 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. One more time, buyraycon.com/ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
With the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. So, when you're buying groceries or movie tickets, you're earning double miles. Use your miles to redeem travel expenses, flights, hotels, rental cars, and more. Just book and pay for your travel using your Venture Card and redeem your miles towards the cost. When you earn unlimited double miles, your next trip is closer than you think. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Credit approval required. Capital One Bank, USA, N.A. We are efforting Jordan Palmer. In the interim, I found the president, Ike.
It's lit!
1-800-636-8686. Quickly, this email relates to Buffalo. I made the announcement on Friday. The Jungle World Tour, the Jim Rome World Tour is back, at least starting with one event, and it's going to be in Buffalo. Jim, I just bought my tickets for the Buffalo Tour Stop. I will be driving down from Toronto and will be ready to take the mic in case you get laryngitis. Signed, that Zamboni driver who stoned the Maple Leafs. Brian and Charlotte, War Rome ending his tour stop like Tyson Fury with a Yoko Ono sing-along. Maybe. Maybe. It actually happened once. I was at one of the early tour stops in Southern California. I don't remember if it was that day where we had three. Not only did we used to have a world tour, I once had three of them in one day. At the National Sports Grill, we hit three of those things in one day. It was unbelievable. I think three of them, and some of the SoCals were there, they would remember. I think I hit three and we ended up at a roller skating rink for four. Or was the roller skating rink an ice rink? And was that three? I don't remember exactly. But I remember one of the days on one of the events, I did get laryngitis. And back in the day when we did the tour stops, they actually first started as radio programs. We would do the show live from a bar or a venue. And one of the days I was illing pretty hard. And it was a four-hour show. And at one point, Deacon Jones just took the mic for me. And he started running the thing. It was amazing. So maybe not the Zamboni driver who stoned the Maple Leafs. And not Deke, who's no longer with us. But Deke did pick me up once. The scouting combine. The NFL combine is underway in Indianapolis, just like that. So I am efforting Jordan Palmer, trying to run him down. In the meantime, we have the Kobe Memorial, which is next hour. We'll have that live right here on CBS Sports Network. If you're listening to the radio program, that will continue. I've got thoughts on the Lakers and Celtics. What a great game that was yesterday. I want to go back to Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury and the fact that Wilder's corner threw in the towel and even some in his own corner thought that was the wrong decision. Got an update on Mad Bum. Want to talk some golf? Patrick Reed, man, if you love to hate Patrick Reed, which pretty much most of you do, I've got some bad news for you. My man takes that heat. He takes that hate. He sits down at a table and he inhales it. He feeds on it. Makes him better. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones. We go to El Paso. Jose in El Paso. Jose, good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I was just calling in about Fury and how, what else does he have to fear? He looked at death in the face and he survived it. He was trying to drink himself to death. He survived it. So why would he be afraid of any human being?
I can answer that. I mean, in part, Jose, you're right. This guy did look death in the eye and came back. This guy thought about killing himself. He bought himself a Ferrari, got up to 190 miles an hour one day, and was thinking about taking his own life. This is a guy who battled alcohol addiction, cocaine addiction. I mean, so you're right. He looked death in its eye. But when you say to me, what do you have to fear? I don't know, that right hand? The most fierce power punch in the history of heavyweight boxing? I mean, don't get that twisted. A punch that he tasted that sent him to the canvas. But that's part of the thing, right? I wouldn't normally think that something like that would have positive momentum, but it did. It very clearly did. And the thing about Fury is he's such a wild man. I don't think that he gets credit for his boxing IQ. We know this guy can box. We know that when he's good, he's very good. Although I didn't know he was that good. What I didn't know is that he had that kind of IQ for the sport. The adjustments that guy made was absolutely astonishing. That he got rid of his trainer, somebody he liked very much, somebody he was very close to, but a guy who felt like could not get him ready for the rematch. And Fury's point was, I learned some things. And he kept saying, the guy talks so much that I assumed he was just talking so much. either trying to convince himself that he'd be all right when he might not be, or trying to move some pay-per-views or sell some tickets. But that wasn't the case. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And he had this brilliant strategy, and then he went out and he executed it. When nobody else thought that it was anything other than suicide to stand in front of this guy, he did exactly that. Not only did he stand in front of him, he went right at him. Anybody else would have called that crazy. So if you want to come in here and say, yeah, well, the guy had been through so much worse. Yeah, maybe. I guess so. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't have been afraid. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't have been concerned. If you had said to me, and he did, by the way, he told everybody, I'm going to go in and go right at this guy, I thought he was crazy. And when he said, I'm going to end it in the second round, I thought that was crazy. But then he went out and he backed up everything except that part of it. It's Rit! He's back. Daniel tweets, who had better tongue action? Tyson or Shakira? I'm not touching that one. You can answer that any way you want. 1-800-636-8686. That was without question the best version of Tyson Fury. And then after the fight, Deontay Wilder was saying things like, you know, there were some things leading up to the fight, but I don't want to make any excuses. I don't know what things he was speaking of. I know that whatever they were, it probably didn't matter on that night. Let's go to Wisconsin. Sam. It's good to have you, Sam. How are you?
Yo, Romeo. How's it going?
Good, Sam. How about you? What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm just getting done with class. Well, Wisconsin, buddy. You, your family, we welcome you. And I want to shout out to Benny and Wisco as well. I'm not a clone. I listen to you all the time, but no, I'm not on that clone stuff. But how the Gypsy King won, I relate to him in so many ways. He fought, he almost killed himself, drug abuse. I mean, I was in the penitentiary in Milwaukee listening to your show 4 years ago. Got out, and, you know, you think this guy had, he has the money, he has it all. He doesn't need to prove crap to anyone else. This fight was for himself. He's almost this close to killing himself, and he comes back. And he's proved the world that when you face death, it's not like you're fearless now. When you face death, you start all over and you have to rebuild. So he did that. The Gypsy King lives on. Romy, Wisco loves you. Peace out.
You got it, Sam. Thanks so much. And I love Wisco. I tend to agree with what he said. Facing death doesn't mean you just come out the other end and then you're not afraid. I've never done that, so I don't know exactly, but I would imagine that's not that easy. You deal with the demons that this guy dealt with and you stare them down. It's not as easy as he stared them down and then he showed up the next day and was fine. I can't even imagine the hard work, the extreme work that must have gone into battling back to right himself the way he did. And one thing to do the work and come out the other end and be in a better spot and be mentally healthy. This guy did the work and came all the way back and fought the most devastating puncher in the division's history, an unbeaten fighter. And within 2 years' time, he came all the way back and turned it around. It's astonishing. You want to talk about a resurrection. Just 2 years ago, this guy was suicidal and addicted to substance abuse, cocaine, alcohol. I mean, we're making light of the fact that just a couple of weeks back, he was still drinking 20 to 30 Diet Cokes a day. And the guy did say some pretty abhorrent things in years past. Yet this guy came all the way back. And that was an absolutely astonishing performance. An astonishing performance. And I knew it early on. I remember thinking, damn, I watched that fight. And in the beginning, I'm like, damn, this guy really is going to try and do what he said he was going to do. And I think it's going to end badly. But then you could see early on, man, he is so much bigger and so much stronger than he was. And not only that, he's lost nothing. Man, he's still quick. He still is really, really balanced, athletic. He's getting off. He's got amazing footwork. And man, this guy's smart. And he's coming forward, and he's cutting off the ring, and Deontay has no answers. And you know what he's going to try and do? He's going to try and load that right hand, but he couldn't. And then he got hit, and he got hit, and it got worse and worse. I mean, initially I thought to myself, Deontay, man, you better set up that jab, or you better use that jab to set up that right. And then I knew, sure, quickly enough, it didn't matter. Nothing he was going to do was going to matter against a bigger, badder, faster man, better man on that night. All right, when we come back, Derek Brown, NFL draft prospect, is my scheduled guest. We'll try and find another spot for Jordan Palmer. Kevin Ioli next hour. First up, though, here's a bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros and ask me a question. Listen later on, and I will answer one of yours. Probably Bella B's, but maybe not. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so we're trying to reschedule Jordan Palmer. Derek Brown is the person we are efforting right now. He had an amazing career at Auburn. The scouting combine, the NFL combine, is currently underway. So we will get to that too. Meantime, let me reset you with your telephone number. 1-800-636-8686. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, we are going to have the Kobe Bryant Memorial. And that will be in hour number two. Radio show continues as normal for hour two and hour three. This email reads, Rome, I saw the fight. I wasn't shocked that Fury won, but how he won. In boxing, it's not only who you fight, but how you fight and how the fight was won. And that night, Tyson Fury wrote his name in the history books. An amazing fight, and considering where he was 2 years ago, that's a total resurrection that we can all appreciate. Steven in San Antonio, wore the sweet science, wore the fight game. I agree. I'm not at all surprised that he won the fight, but I am shocked that he won the fight the way he won the fight. Astonished that he won the fight the way he said that he would win the fight. It just sounded like hot air. It just sounded like a guy running off the mouth. It just sounded like a guy bumping his gums to move some pay-per-views. It was none of that. He backed it all up. The only thing he didn't back up was the round that he called. But even that didn't matter. All right, so as we're efforting our next guest, let's go to the phones quickly. We go to Jacksonville. Bob in Jacksonville. Good to have you, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Rom. I am actually flabbergasted and beside myself that other people can't see what I see, and that is that that fight was so fixed that it's incredible that other people can't see that. If you want to make a lot of money when they have the next fight, I am going to bet all of my money on Deontay Wilder to knock out Tyson Fury in the first round. Tyson Fury is the worst boxer I have ever seen, and Deontay Wilder is one of the best boxers I have ever seen. And you can't beat a guy by throwing one or two punches around, and that's exactly what Deontay Wilder did. He threw that fight, and it is so obvious that I can't believe that you can't see it and other people can't see it.
So why did you do that, Bob? Just to guarantee a third fight? One that they were already contractually obligated to?
What's that?
They were already contractually obligated to a third fight. Why would they need to fix it?
Because the next fight is going to be a first-round knockout, and whatever Nevada pays for first-round knockouts is going to be, the odds are going to be incredible. And do you remember the Max Bear-Primo Carnera fight? when Max Bear's manager bet $10,000 that he was going to knock Primo Carnera out in the first round, and he...
That's not a good call. No.
You know what I remember, Bob?
Like that call. I don't like that call.
I remember not you being, quote, slabbergasted, and then picking up the phone and calling this show and trying to tell me that that fight was fixed. I'm not saying that certain things aren't, because they are. Now, I can't say to you that I can look at a game, a basketball game, a football game, a fight, and necessarily know what is fixed and what is not fixed. But I know a bad call when I hear one, and that was a terrible call. The fight was not fixed. All right, that's not subject to anybody's opinion. That's a fact. That fight was not fixed. How did they fix all that blood coming out of Deontay's ear? Was there a makeup artist ringside that I didn't see? Was Tyson Fury licking makeup blood? Were those punches not really landing? Was he not really hurt? They just got everybody to buy in. Everybody to commit to that, to go along so they could have a third fight. Like I said, they're going to have the third fight anyway. It's contractually obligated. If Deontay Wilder wants a rematch, it's in his contract. He gets a rematch. This guy's like, quote, that's the worst fight I've ever seen. Really? It's actually a pretty damn good fight. Well, not a damn good fight in that it was competitive, but a really compelling evening, starting with Tyson Fury coming in, riding a throne to Patsy Cline. I mean, a total circus. And then to see Deontay come in with his getup and his mask, it was amazing. Huge night in Vegas, huge energy. There hadn't been a night like that for the heavyweight division, literally in years, if not decades. It was amazing to see. Trust me when I tell you that was not fixed. Some things are compromised. I'd go as far as to say some things are fixed. That was not one of them. The bigger, better man won the fight and did so in dominating fashion. There's nothing slabbergasting about that.
I am actually slabbergasted.
Slabbergasted. Slabbergasted.
Slabbergasted.
You mean plastered?
Slabbergasted.
You mean plastered?
Slabbergasted.
Yeah, Bob. I remember that Max Bear Primo Carnera fight like it was yesterday. Except it was 1934. Max won, right? Or are you too slabbergasted to remember?
Slabbergasted.
Why don't we go back to the late 1800s and reset some of those great bare-knuckle brawls in the dirt?
Slabbergasted.
Come on, man. The fight was not fixed. The better man won that night. And you got to tip your hat. You have to tip your hat. 1-800-636-8686. I'll tell you what, it's just one of those things. Kind of a weird coinkydink. I don't ever remember us missing on back-to-back guests. It's good news for you, though. For instance, if my guest had shown up when he was supposed to show up, and I'm sure knowing this young man, there was a reason he didn't, I'm fine. But had he shown up when he was supposed to show up, we would not have gotten a call from that guy who was slabbergasted.
Slabbergasted.
You mean plastered. Let's go to Green Bay. My man, Kyle in Green Bay. What's good, Kyle?
Romy, I'm trying not to laugh from that last call. That was hilarious. But I just want to say I got my ticket to the show in Buffalo. I am absolutely hyped. The last time you ran one of these, I was on the playground playing football, flirting with chicks in fifth grade. So I had to get the ticket right away. I got my Airbnb. I am ready to see the boys back in Buffalo. And if this thing works out, Romy, I think we should partner up. Green Bay Clone Stock this year, I'm doing it on a Saturday, October 3rd, for the Badgers-Notre Dame game at Lambeau. It's going to be epic. I think it'll work out perfectly. But, Romy, I will see you in a couple weeks. Let's get it, Buffalo. Let's get rowdy.
Let's do it. Kyle in Green Bay. I think my favorite part of that program or that call is when I went to Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle said, "Romy, I'm sorry, but I can't help but laugh at that call. I can't help but laugh at a guy that talked about being slabbergastered."
Slabbergastered.
Pretty funny. Especially coming from the guy who came on this show and once addressed me as Drew Jumpman Gillett in Green Bay. Kyle, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Drew Jumpman Gillett. Oh, man, I'm nervous. How's it going?
Hey, Bob, that guy's laughing at you. Bob, that guy is laughing at you. You want to talk about a personal resurrection. How far has Kyle in Green Bay come? From the Drew Jumpman Gillett days to what he is right now. Also, how great was that he said, not only, first of all, Kyle, thank you very much for buying the ticket. I want to thank everybody that has already bought their tickets to the Buffalo event. Go to JimRomeWorldTour.com. JimRomeWorldTour.com. Go there right now because the tickets go on sale to the general public on Friday. But if you are a clone and a longtime listener, you can go in there right now, but you need a password. The password is jungle. You can buy tickets. I understand that it's different. Back in the day, we did not charge. That was then. This is now. We haven't had a tour stop in about a decade and a half. The world has changed. Now there are tickets for sale, but there's lots of different options. You can get a VIP package if they're still available. I have to check. I haven't looked. At last check, they were. But there are VIP packages available. It'll put you in the front row. It'll get you a signed picture. There's an after party, a private after party for a meet and greet. Or if you just want to go to the show and buy a ticket, you can do that too.
Private.
It is private. It is April 11th at Shays in Buffalo. Go to JimRomeWorldTour.com. And if you do so between now and Friday, you need the password. The password is jungle. I love Kyle in Green Bay saying that he's got his Airbnb. I've already got my ticket and my Airbnb. Hey, Kyle, tell me about your Airbnb. How big is it? How many rooms? Or better yet, let me ask you this, Kyle. How many doors does your Airbnb have? Two or four? A car. That's what I'm getting at. That Airbnb that you speak of, is it a Toyota? Is it a Honda? Is it a Mazda? Did you book your reservation for that Airbnb through Hertz, Enterprise, Avis, National, Thrifty Car Rental? You see him showing up at the airport, getting in line with everybody else. Everybody's got their driver's license out, and Kyle's like, "Yo, man, why do I need my driver's license to rent a house?" Because your house has got four wheels, broham. Kyle, you're the best. See you in Buffalo. Shays is incredible. Plenty of seats. Well, not as many as there were Friday when I made the announcement. They're moving pretty quickly. However, there are lots of tickets. From what Buffalo listeners tell me, there's not a bad seat in that house. And you just decide what you want to do. Hey, listen, if you're of the opinion, "Hey, Rome, I like you. I like your show. I don't need to pay to see you." That's fine. I get that. In no way am I defensive about that. I'm just saying that if you want to see something different, because it is different, it's a live show. I'm in the process of putting it together right now. A lot of you are like, "Hey, Rome, how are you going to top what you did the last time you went to Buffalo when you rode in on that white Bronco?" I'll be honest, I have not come up with something better than that yet. I've got 6 weeks. I'm not sure that I will. And also, part of the other problem is Tyson Fury stole my idea. And don't act like that wasn't my idea. Look at the animated open to my TV show. What am I? I'm on a throne. My man ripped my idea. Come on, big dog. You know I was going to do that. 1-800-636-8686. All right, again, for those of you who are watching on CBS Sports Network right now, we are going to air the Kobe Bryant Memorial Service from Staples Center in Los Angeles. So if you're watching on the TV side and on the simulcast, we will have that for you on CBS Sports Network. If you're listening to the program right now and you want to see that memorial, you can do that as well. It's going to be on CBS Sports Network, and we will have that for you on the other side. If you are listening, nothing changes on the radio side, and we will be back for hours 2 and 3. So if you're watching on TV, We're going to send you after this break to the Kobe Memorial at Staples. And everybody else, I will see you on the other side. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Don't go anywhere.